10. Go. Hey, good morning, everybody. Or maybe you're in a part of the world where I have to say good afternoon or good evening. But whatever it is, we just want to say that God loves you and so do we.
Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuller. This is Robert Schuller, part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And this is our 8 a.m. Pacific time church service.
Yeah, we do this every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. And wherever you're watching it right now, you can continue to watch, or you can go to our website at drschuller.org and you can watch it there.
We appreciate that. That's the best place to go.
Yeah. And while you're at our website, you can look at all the different things that we have there available for you. There's a connection to our YouTube page with literally thousands. I think we have probably close to 10,000 videos on our YouTube page. Anything from 20 seconds all the way up to, I think our longest ones are 4 hours.
Yeah, you don't want to watch one of those.
No, you don't want to watch one of those. But not unless you're just trying to kill some time.
We're getting ready. We keep saying this, but very soon you're going to have a new user-friendly updated version of Dr. Schuller.
Oh, wait. More user-friendly. Yeah, even more user-friendly.
Now, our website has needed work.
That's why we're doing it. We wouldn't do it if it didn't need work, right?
And you'll see a lot more of our current content first instead of the old stuff, and then how do you find all this stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be like hopefully right in your face, and you go, oh, I like that. And the guy that's doing it explains it like a bento box. If you've ever, I know a lot of people aren't going to have any idea what a bento box is. Maybe you don't.
Tell everybody what a bento
part
box
of when you are served. Oftentimes, if you go to a Japanese restaurant, for those of you in different parts of the country, maybe you've never done this. We live in California. We have all kinds of food, and I just come back from Florida. They have all kinds of food. Different ethnicities, and it's very interesting. I like everything. Robert likes everything. Likes to try.
Yeah, we're very adventurous.
But a bento box basically is a box, a beautiful lacquer box, or they make them in wood and they put it in front of you. And the biggest, and it's divided into sections. So let's say the box is either square or rectangle. There's different boxes, and the large box would be the most important, maybe fish or beef or chicken,
main dish.
And there's all these littler boxes. They're various sizes and shapes all around the main box. And the other shapes and sizes also contain information or food, in this case, that you want to eat.
So we're offering food also. Aren't they spiritual and emotional?
That's
food.
Why I said that. Yeah. Exactly. You got it. He's smart. Hey, so we're going to have more of that where you click here. Oh, okay. I want to go right to their podcast. Click here. Oh, I want to go right to the Instagram channel. I want to go right to some of their articles they wrote. Click there. Oh, here's with their Sunday service. We missed it. It's up front and center. Oh, I want to go into what they used to do in the Christ Cathedral years ago. Oh, here's a page about them. What are these people? Who are these people? For people that have no idea who we are. And that's the idea. We want to reach new people. We want to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. Never before has there been a time we need to reach more people for God.
No question.
Yeah. So.
No question. Well, talking about that, let me share with you something that I find rather fascinating. Maybe you've noticed there is a strong push towards climate. And you hear it from all the different media. For instance, the LA Times came out with an article recently. And here's what the LA Times, you figure that what are the two main circulations when it comes to newspapers?
Area,
it would be the New York Times and then the LA Times on the West Coast, right?
Yes, yeah, we don't get either of those.
So,
but okay.
So here's, we don't subscribe to those. But here is the editorial that came out. In April, I can't read that, 17th. It says, if 10 straight months of record-breaking heat isn't a climate emergency, what is? So then you go on to read the article, and in the article, it says that Californians have had weekend after weekend of cool, stormy weather. And the Sierra Nevada has been blessed with a healthy snowpack. Wow. But the reality is that even the last few months have been more than 2 degrees hotter than average. Mm.
Not around here.
So let's go to Noah and find out what the average is.
Tell them what Noah is. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Another one of our wonderful
four-letter
organizations that we never voted these people in, but they seem to run
over the country. 400, 430, yes. 480, and they're growing.
Two, three, and four-letter organizations appointed by whoever's in charge of the government. Who knows?
Well, I almost went into that this week, but I did
it. It's okay. So, sorry, I had to. I've been gone all week. I've been gone 6 days.
Yeah. So here's what Noah says about the weather in February, because in April it was saying the last 2 months have been the hottest in record.
Not around here.
And around here in California. Mm-hmm. So we look up Noah and it says February of 2024, the average temperature was, let me say, I'm trying to see, 50. I can't read it. I was going to read
56.7, I think it's
56.0 Fahrenheit.
Yes.
Which puts it out of 130 years, puts it at number 62, which is actually below average. Mm-hmm. Average would be 65, and it's 62. And so, but it was actually less than a half a degree warmer than normal. So it was a little bit warmer. We've got to give them credit for that. But they also said that March was the same way. So we pulled up March off of NOAA. And what does it say about March? The average temperature is, and I can't read it. It's 50.
It's so small. It's because of the light.
Yeah, maybe I can enlarge.
There you go.
There we go. 59.7, which ranks it at 57 out of 130. So it's quite a bit below average.
Exactly.
And the actual temperature was 0.3 degrees below normal.
Okay.
And yet, what was the announcement that they made?
Oh, we're just...
It is an absolute catastrophe. Now, why would the LA Times be promoting this? Why are we hearing so much about climate change? And the reason is this. Look at this article. What does it say? White House renews internal talks on evoking climate emergency. Invoking climate emergency. Yes. Here's another one. All of the networks have the same.
But they always do. They have to say the same thing.
Biden to take climate executive action. And let's see.
Why don't they stop sending up planes that are cloud seeding and changing our weather, which is affecting the globe? Why don't they stop that? Why don't they stop it? You know, I'm sorry. They're playing God. Really makes me angry.
Well, so there's a nonprofit, nonpartisan Law Policy Institute, and this is why Biden wants these controls. They put out a guide to emergency powers. It's the Brennan Center for Justice. It is the nonprofit, nonpartisan Law Policy Institute. Mm-hmm. And they put out this guide to emergency powers and their use. And in that article, this is what it says. The Brennan Center, building on previous research, has identified 135 statutory powers that may become available to the president when he declares a national emergency.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is contemplating and examining and trying to put forth a national emergency regarding climate in order that he can gain these extra powers. Now, whether he does it or not is yet to be determined, but now you know why everywhere you turn, the world is heating up so fast. Out of his own words, it is an existential crisis, which means it's the end of humanity as we know it. It's the end of the planet as we know it. And yet one of the things we know is far more people die from cold than they do from heat. And so we're getting it from all angles. From the science is coming out saying that the warm weather is actually creating more viruses, which is totally contrary to everything I've ever heard in my entire life. It's always been virus season, flu season. When is flu season? So it's always in the winter.
Fall and winter.
Yeah, always in the late winter. Fall. Why? Because the cold recreates. Anyway, they're trying is coming out saying now that they're putting out reports saying that the heat, the global warming, the global climate change, it's all they call it is climate change. The climate, that's like saying, hey, you know, I'm growing older.
We're changing.
Hey, I'm growing older.
I want to do something quick. They need to focus more on what's going on with the college campuses. I mean, I know you're not going to get into that.
Actually, I am.
Talk about existential threat. I mean, a threat to youth, a threat to authority, a threat to free speech.
I thought I had more because I enlarged it to read it. I lost the other videos, or not videos, but other slides. But that's okay. You got the message. I had a couple more. News slides to show you, but anyway, it's no big deal. But that's my little report. I like to give a report. The report basically, and the message is: do not listen and pay attention to existential threats to humanity regarding the climate. If the planet is warming up, it doesn't mean that you are going to die. Your grandchildren are not going to die if the planet warms up 2 or 3 degrees. It just means you're not going to be as cold. The planet isn't universally warming. It's different places they're warming. In addition to that, they're monitoring the temperatures in downtown cities, which hold the heat in. So the larger the cities grow, the hotter those cities will become. So that's not an accurate depiction as well. Maybe we could go on and all.
Meanwhile, I just got back from Freedom, Florida. This is stressing me out, man. I want to go back there.
This isn't meant to stress you
nobody
out.
Nobody worries about that kind of. I feel like bite my nails here. But, I wish it were warmer here today. I'm looking outside going, what am I doing? I have a dress on. It's like a cotton dress. I've got a sweater to wear over it.
So we have a high of 66
today.
I'm
sorry. And it's windy. We have a flag out on our balcony. It's blowing like straight out. So I'm just going, could it get a little warmer, please? I just got back from high 70s,
well,
low 80s.
May gray in California and June gloom. Yeah. Those are the two months where people expect it to be warm and springy like
don't
the rest
come
of the nation.
Out here. Go to
and the
Florida.
Rest of the world in the spring, but not California. And that's because our currents flow from the north to south, and it's the ocean that keeps it cold.
It's cold.
So you go inland only 100 miles. From
just
the coast.
Keep talking.
And
I'm going to put a snowsuit on.
And
here.
It's hot, right? Okay. The desert starts getting hot.
The desert's nice. Buy a house in the desert if you decide to move to California. Of course, who would want to move to California?
So,
everybody's leaving.
why don't you read our scripture?
We've got a great
scripture today.
I want to focus on this. On Jesus.
Have we prayed?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for allowing us to be here. For allowing us to be your people. So keep our eyes open to the reality of your goodness, that you are in control, that nothing happens without your ordination. And so we pray right now that you will bring peace to our nation, peace to the world, peace to our campuses, and may your kingdom reign always and forever with love and joy and peace. We love you, Lord, and praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Read our scripture.
I would love to do that. Yeah. So like I said, I got back from Freedom, Florida, and you know, it's just so different. My daughter doesn't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that parents of children who attend public school here in California have to worry about. And it's just, yeah, they have a lot more freedom to choose there, how they want to live. So, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. And we find our freedom through him always. So listen to these words. This is the story of Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. I'm starting with verse 21, but what book? Is this another synopsis of the gospel?
No.
Okay.
John.
Okay, John 21.
Sorry.
That's okay. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said back to him, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. And he told them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around himself, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring me some of the fish you've just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and he gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, you say blessed are those of us who believe in you and we have not seen. You know, the disciples, all these thousands of years ago, spent time with you. And yet some of them still doubted once in a while. And I know we have doubts once in a while. But Lord, you give us an opportunity every day to choose to believe or to doubt. And Lord, we believe. We believe you. We put our life and our trust in you. We put our trust in you, and therefore we can feel free. We can feel free in our thoughts. We can feel free in the way we worship you. We can feel free in our ability to draw closer to you anytime. You're there. We just have to enter. We have to enter into your presence. Lord, I pray for people today that are listening, that are going through something difficult. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've lost a job. Maybe their kids aren't getting along. Maybe they're not getting along with their kids. Maybe they're in transition of some sort, Lord, in a big transition. We're all in transition every day, and that's a good thing to realize. But maybe they're going through a painful transition, something that's not of their own doing. Lord, let's remember that we can come to you always. We can choose you. You always choose us. Thank you for doing this, Jesus. We love you, and in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a church service. So we survive. Churches survive because people like you are generous, and you decide to tithe or give an offering or give to us. So how can they
support this ministry?
Support this ministry.
So we have several different ways you can give. One way is you can write a check and you can put it in the mail the old-fashioned way. And the address is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. You can go to drschuler.org. That's drschuller.org. And you'll find a little button there that says, I'd like to give. And you can follow the prompts and you can give that way. If it's handy for you to use the QR code, you can do that. It'll take you straight there. That's the QR code you see on the right. And on the left, you'll see a QR code that takes you to our Venmo account. You can use that as well. Otherwise, you can just look up Robert Schuller Ministries on Venmo, and it should look, you should see the picture, and it should look like the one you'll see there on the left. So that's the best way to give in our ministry, for our ministry. And we just want you to know that we appreciate everything you do, and we appreciate everything that everyone does to keep our ministry functioning and working and allowing us to be able to do this research and to do this teaching and to share it with you. So we love you, and we care about you. And if you have anything you want to share with us, please feel free to reach out and let us know.
I think we have to give a plug and a thank you to the people that listen to our podcast. We have had a podcast for many, many years. Many of you don't know that. If you want to search the podcast, just look up Robert Schuller Ministries podcast in whatever search engine you use. It'll come right up. But, you know, we don't have any way of knowing who supports the ministry through the podcast. So if you happen to be one of those people that financially, that gives financial gifts through the podcast, please let us know. Why don't you, you know, once in a while we'll get a small donation or any kind of donation through our giving app, and we have no idea who the people are. We don't have an address. We don't have a phone number. We just have a name, and let's just say like a $25 gift. If you are one of those people that listen to the podcast or any of our ministry, any of our services, and you are giving, please, I know you get an automatic thank you response, but sometimes we don't know how to reach you. And we'd love that. So you can write to us. You can write Donna@SchullerMinistries.org or Robert@SchullerMinistries.org. We answer all of our own mail. And if you can't remember that, just go to robertschullerministries@gmail.com. And we get all of that. It goes into the same mailbox. We get all this mail, and we will answer you. Let us know how you watch or how you listen. If it's not Sunday morning, this goes out to, you know, all over the world after Sunday morning. So let us know, because we don't know.
So we live cast simultaneously to several different platforms that would include LinkedIn.
Yeah, don't even Facebook. Start naming them. There's like eight of them. Seriously.
The reason I'm mentioning it is we usually have lots of people.
Oh, podcast is what I was saying.
Uh-huh.
We have like 12 different platforms.
So we usually have, there we go. Charity Cox is there. I think the chats were slow in coming in or frozen, because I just see one.
You never know.
Yeah,
it's technology.
Exactly. So anyway, here we've got one comment that I'm going to share with you, and it says, good morning, ready for my Bible lesson, thanks.
Okay.
So she did that first thing this morning, and so I bring that up because it's time for the Bible lesson.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Great.
So thank
you. I'm going.
Thank you. Yeah, get out of here.
Okay, bye. I'm out. I can take a hint.
Yeah. Well, not really. But you take the direction very well. Thank you, Annabelle. So anyway, you read from the Donna read from John 21, the miracle of catching fish. And so I'm going to share with you some interesting pictures and some interesting facts and knowledge about that account, so that you have a pure understanding and clarification understanding of what's going on. So when we read this, the first thing we read is that Jesus appeared to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. That's the very first thing we read. So let's start there. Where is the Sea of Galilee? So here's a map. I just threw up a map of actually a map from 1950. And I guess I brought this one up, first of all, to show you where the Sea of Galilee is. Up in the top center, about 25% from the very 25% down from the very top of the map, you'll see a blue circle. That is the Sea of Galilee. And then there is a line that runs down from there to the Dead Sea, which is the the long C that you see at the bottom. That is where the Sea of Galilee is. The Mediterranean Sea is off to your left, and it is, and so Israel, the Sea of Galilee, is on the very east end of the Mediterranean Sea. It is the end of the Mediterranean Sea. So that's where the Sea of Galilee is located. Now, if I show you a picture of the Sea of Galilee more specifically, this is the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, or 21 kilometers, and 8 miles wide, 13 kilometers wide, 21 kilometers long, 13 miles long, and 8 miles wide. That's the Sea of Galilee. Now, you'll notice at the very top of the sea, there's Capernaum. That is where Jesus spent most of his ministry. That's where Peter's mother-in-law lived. That's where Jesus hung out most of the time, is in the area of Capernaum. And the fact that Peter is fishing probably means he's not far from Capernaum. And so they're in their boat in Capernaum, and he is fishing. So as soon as I mention that, you think, well, what are the boats like that Peter was fishing in? So I've got some pictures there too. Here's an actual picture of a recovered boat from the first century. This boat was discovered about 15, 20 years ago, and it was a miraculous discovery on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, not far from, well, let me pull up the Sea of Galilee. It's actually found near Magdala. The Sea of Galilee is often called Gennesaret, which means heart, and it is in the shape of a heart, and so you can see that. If you go on the left side, you see Magdala in the section that sticks out a little bit, and that's where Mary Magdala was from, Mary Magdalene, and that is where this boat was discovered. So they found this boat, and they meticulously were able to put this thing back together. It's a wonder of modern science that this boat is able to be preserved and resurrected the way it has been. It's in a museum there next to the Sea of Galilee where it was discovered. And to give you an idea of what it looked like when it was brand new and bright and shiny, it looked like this. And they have the people in there to give you an idea of the dimensions and size. But that's basically what it looked like. That's what the boats were like that the men were fishing on. So Peter and the other disciples are in Galilee. They followed the instructions of Jesus. Last week we read that Jesus told them to go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. So they're in Galilee waiting for Jesus to meet them and talk to them. And they go there and Peter decides to go fishing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood at the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, have you caught anything?" They said, "No, we haven't caught a thing." He said, "So throw your net on the other side." And when they did, they brought in so much fish, they couldn't even believe it. It was overwhelming. And this is a reflection of the beginning of his ministry. At the beginning of their ministry, Jesus did the same thing with the apostles. He told them to cast their nets and try one more time, and they did. And they brought in a harvest that practically sunk their boats, that took actually far more than they did this time. But one of your questions from here may be, well, what kind of fish did they catch? And what they caught was a kind of a tilapia. What's the kind of fish they have? And this would be the, so when they brought in the nets and they saw all these fish, this is what the nets would have looked like. And there was an absolute ton of fish. In fact, the number, it says specifically, it was 153 fish. And with that comes the question, why 153? Why not 154 or 152? Is there any significance to the number of 153? And scholars have been asking this question since the Bible was written and since this number was put in there. Everyone believes there's got to be a reason. And throughout history, there has been just a lot of different concepts and thought. One of them is, one of the current thoughts is, taking the numerology of the alphabet of the Hebrew letters and assigning different numbers to it, and taking the number of 153, you decipher the name I am God, Yahweh. And that may indeed be the case, but I've heard a lot of arguments that that is not accurate, that those numerologies don't work. And so that may or may not be the case. I like it. It sounds terrific. It's Jesus's way of saying, I am God. I did this because I am God. And maybe that's the conclusion and that's the end of it. But then you have St. Augustine, who said this. I'm going to read it to you. The catch of fish tells us of the salvation of humanity. But humanity cannot be saved without keeping the Ten Commandments. But on account of the fall, we cannot even keep the Ten Commandments without the help of grace and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, the number seven signifies holiness, since God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. But 10 plus 7 equals 17. And if all the numbers from 1 to 17 are added together, 1, 2, 3, etc., they equal 153. Hence, 153 fish signifies that all the elect are to be saved by the grace and the following the Ten Commandments. That's St. Augustine who came up with this equation back in the third century AD. Why 153? So about 1,000 years later, Pythagoras wrote about the association of the catch of fish and the number, and he had calculated that 153 is a denominator of the closest known fraction to the square root of 3, 265 of 153. And this was also the ratio of the fish shaped drawn between two overlapping circles, which are centered on each other's circumference. This shape is therefore known as the Vesica Piscis, or the Mandorea, and the ratio was called the Pythagoras, the measure of the fish. If the two circles represent God and humanity, then the overlap represents Jesus as God's incarnate, along with his followers, whose sign became the sign of the fish. So here you see it in a diagram form, and this is why we have 153 fish caught particularly, and why they give this number. I don't know what's true. I don't know what the answer is. I just want you to know that there was 153 fish that were caught that day. That's all we know. From my perspective, I say it's just there to show you that it was a magnificent harvest. And the harvest was had because the disciples decided to follow Jesus. They decided to listen to Jesus. Even after he died, they continued to listen and follow the directions, and they threw their nets out. And as a result, they had this magnificent harvest. And this is the last day of Easter. Easter starts on Easter Sunday, and it goes until this Sunday. Next Sunday is Ascension Sunday, where Jesus ascends into heaven, and we'll be talking about that next Sunday. And then the following Sunday is Pentecost, which is the harvest season, And that's why I bring all of this up today, because I think it's a foreshadowing of the blessings of God upon our lives as we listen to him. If we listen to Jesus's words, if we follow his direction, if we follow him, we're going to be blessed in ways we cannot imagine. On this particular morning, they had this abundance of fish. They had fished all night. They caught nothing. They were tired. The sun was coming up. And the picture would be something like this. This is a picture that was that kind of gives us the idea. It's the best rendering I could find of Jesus along the shore cooking the fish for the disciples. And if you stop and you think about the blessings of this event, the blessings are more than the fish that came in. Yes, that was a financial blessing to the apostles, but more than that, it was the time they had to spend with Jesus. And it says in Corinthians, Paul writes that Jesus spent many times appearing to the apostles and many people, and most of that, we believe, takes place in Galilee, probably around Capernaum. And it says that at one time, he appeared before 500 people. We don't have the particulars. We don't know all the details, but we just know that Paul witnessed and hit himself. He talked with all the apostles. All the apostles said this happened. And my suspicion is he also went and met with the 500 more people who participated in that glorious event of seeing the physical body of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. So here this morning, I want you to hear these things, that when we listen to Jesus, he might tell us to do something that's really bizarre, like casting our nets on the other side of the ship, on the other side of the boat, of going someplace else, leaving the comforts that we're used to and what we've been doing and doing something different. But if we know it's something we have to do, you have that that inner call within you, and you've listened to it, you allow your intuitive side of your brain, and you listen to that, the bounty may be magnificent. Today, I want you to hear the voices of Jesus calling you to come and to eat with him. Not only did they then catch the fish and have this bounty, but they've been up all night. They're hungry. And what do they get? They don't have to go to the shore immediately and start cleaning the fish. And then after they clean the fish, clean the nets, then after they've done all this, then they can eat. No. Jesus has prepared the food for them. He has come and enjoy the feast. And if you're thinking, what would that have looked like? This is what, if you go to the Sea of Galilee today and you order a meal, St. Peter's fish, and you get the whole fish, this is probably what it's going to look like. I've had it there before, and this is what I was served. And you have the pita bread and all the different toppings that go along with it. It's a magnificent feast. And the feast that you'll have from Jesus may not be one of food, but it will be one of the spiritual nourishment and the gifts and the emotions that are more important than what, you know, the reason we like and eat and enjoy meals so much is because the emotional blessings that those flavors give us and the memories and the happiness that happens. Our spiritual blessings we get from Jesus will become like that to us as we continue to live with him and follow him. So today, I want to invite you to commit your life to Jesus Christ and follow him no matter where he leads. If he calls you to do something, listen and cast your nets and put forth the fleece and say, Lord, I trust you. I believe you. Even though I haven't seen you, even though I haven't put my hands in your side, even though I haven't seen your physical body, I believe in the testimonies of hundreds of people who saw the risen Savior who saw you. So join me in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I commit my life to you, the risen Lord, my God. I trust in your words. I trust in your guidance. I trust in your salvation. I trust that you will indeed feed me like you fed the apostles. And so I move forward in faith, Lord, knowing that with you, all things are possible. So as we face the challenges that the world puts before us today, as we face the fears that people want to put within our minds, we say, behind me, Satan, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And so it is with you, O Lord, that I adapt, that I accept, that I enjoy and rest in your loving arms. I love you, Lord, and I praise your name always and forever. Amen. So now I want to invite you to participate in growing the kingdom of God and bringing in a harvest by supporting this ministry. You can go to our website at drschuler.org and you can follow the prompts there. Support this ministry and you will be blessed in ways you can't imagine. It'll be where you need the blessings the most. That's what we do know. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his blessings. And you're lying down, you're rising up, you're laboring in your leisure, your laughter and in your tears until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God's blessing you, everybody. Go with him and reap the harvest he has prepared for you.